Hello, everybody, and welcome to the 100-Year Real Estate Investor. We're your hosts, Jake and Gino, and this is the show dedicated to long-term personal financial engineering. Today, we're going to take a look. We're going to take a look at the U.S. We're going to take a look at Italy and compare the two economic systems. And I have the economic guru today who lives in the U.S. but spends time in Italy. Not enough to pay taxes. I want to be very clear. Welcome, Mr. G-Daddy. Gino, how's it going?
Mr. Stenziano, and I had the enlightenment to do this podcast as I was sitting at a coffee shop in Italy, and I'm sitting there pondering how wonderful and how beautiful it is living there. And there's pros to it, and there's cons to it. And I've taken my notes here, and we're going to go through the pros and the cons of living in Italy versus living in the United States. And one thing that struck me,
the arborvitaes grow really well in Italy. I'm going to tell you that right now. I haven't been, but I see them out there. The arborvitaes look really nice in Italy.
You know, the first thing, let's just jump right into it, right? It is a beautiful country. The people are beautiful, hence Jake and Gino. We're beautiful people, I have to say. And all joking aside, it's just magical. I mean, my mom's town is in the mountains. The greenery, the lushness, the food. It's just a wonderful place to be. I love that. It's number two, it's all about family. Family life is still strong there. You still have generations who are living within each other and still, you know, working together. I love
that. Comparing it to the U.S., you know, that's like becoming more of a thing. A lot of kids living in the basement still after they've become adults, right? So I think there's a lot of comparisons
here.
It's closer than you think, right?
Yes, we're transitioning back to that. But I think from there, it's a different perspective. The kids here need their parents. The kids there is just part of the generation, just part of the culture of living with the family. My mom's town had 300 people. Everyone's last name is Fulgenzi, Biasini. They're all really interconnected there. And up until one or two generations ago, they rarely left the town. So it really was about the family. I think the next thing that I love about Italy is faith. The Catholic faith, God is omnipresent everywhere. On churches, in buildings, you see crests. It's just wonderful to see that, to see the history there, and to see that people have faith in there. And unfortunately, it should have been separation of church and state, but they put so much faith in their religion, but then it's hard to say, because why do they have so much faith in the government when they're having faith in religion? It's just an oxymoron to me, because why do you need government when you're reliant upon government? To me, it's as if you're not relying upon God. And that's really was a struggle for me, where you see government everywhere as well, whereas you see the faith going on. The next one, I'm going to get back to that one, but the next one obviously is one of my favorite things, is food. I mean, the 00 flour, everything is organic. You can go down the street, pick a peach off a tree, and it actually tastes like a peach. It's micro farms. The food is wonderful. The water there, my mom's got a fountain that's running all the time. It just tastes magical there, the food. There's something they do. It's less processed. It's much healthier for you as opposed to here. The next one is tradition.
Think how fresh it is, too, if it's coming from the backyard, essentially.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a little bit different. You know, you're getting it like almost right away.
Exactly. So. And the next one is tradition. I mean, the tradition that Italy's had for hundreds and hundreds of years, whether it's singing, whether it's, like I said, the church, whether it's the families that are going from generation to generation, passing down the wealth. It's amazing. The history, the art there, the churches. And what I like about it is what we talked about in the previous podcast is that cathedral thinking. They don't think about doing something and they're done after a day or two or a year. They think about something for the long term. They're building something today. Everything there is concrete and steel, because they're not building it just for their generation. They're building it for their kids' kids, which is really, really cool. And I think the last thing I'd like
to
add is...
stay there for a second, because there was an interesting case study I saw about Swiffer and why it would not sell in Italy. Did I tell you about this?
No.
No, because the wives there thought the husbands would look at them like they were slacking because they were using some chintzy little thing and they weren't actually cleaning the floors properly. So when Swiffer initially launched, it suffered tremendously in Italy, because they're looking at this saying, what's this chintzy little piece of crap? This is not going to clean the floors. My husband's going to think I'm like doing a bad job or something. So literally, that's the kind of thinking, though, where you're saying you do it right. You do it right the first time. It's different than the American version of it. It's like, oh, let me get this little cheap piece of crap and run it across the floor a little bit, because it's going to like save time and whatever. So there is a difference there. And that goes to the root of what you're saying. You do it right. You build it with the brick the first time, so it lasts for a long period of time. That's the huge difference, that I don't want people to think you're just like making this stuff up. This is real.
No, so. And I love that. It's a great analogy, because the other thing is they're not a buy and throwaway society like we are.
Yes.
They're buying a TV. They're keeping that crap for 30 years. You know, they're buying a computer and they're keeping it for 10 years because they can't afford to buy a new one. I went into my uncle's garage. I see stuff in there, tools from 40 years ago. I see vice grips. Like, here,
You should see my dad's basement still.
But how many people in the U.S. do that nowadays? We buy stuff and we just throw it away. We just pile stuff up there. They recycle and they reuse it. It's that mentality of the cathedral thinking. And the last one is the swagger. Italians have that swagger, have that air about them. I don't want to call it arrogance. It's more a little bit of confidence. And they walk around. Listen, they've got a beautiful life. They've got a beautiful country. They've got great food. They've got great music. That all lends to a little bit of having that swagger. Now, I really propped up the country, and I said so many wonderful things. Those are the pros. I don't know, Jake, if you want to jump in and think of anything yourself. I mean, if anybody's listening to this on YouTube, throw it down in the chat box. Let me know what you think about
Look, haven't been there personally before, but I think, you know, everything from, you know, speaking with you and the things that I know and the, you know, the folks that I've interacted with, I think that you're hitting the nail on the head there. But it's that kind of merger that, you know, comes with it, you know, an overreaching government that I think you're about to lead into that makes things different, and it de-incentivizes folks to the point where things stop growing and becoming prosperous and can go the other way. So, you know, if you want to just take it from there, I think we can pick it up.
Yeah. And I think somebody might be listening to this podcast and saying, well, why are you doing this? This is self-serving for you. And the reason why
I'm doing this
is because I want to be able to highlight what's going on. California and New York are moving towards the model of Europe. Now, people don't understand that. They may think I'm a conspiracy theorist, but everything that I've mentioned here, a lot of the cons, you're going to be saying, wow, it looks more like a European model, what they're trying to achieve in these other states. And that's why people are leaving those states and coming down to the Southeast or going to Arizona or Idaho or wherever for more freedoms. And I just want to highlight that and make people aware.
We're both former New Yorkers, and they have the biggest population loss out of any state in the nation right now. And there's a reason for that.
Now the cons.
It's not just the bad weather, okay? Mm-hmm. I'm saying, you know. Hey, been there, lived it, okay, folks? You know.
The cons, there's a lot on this list. I'm going to go through them real quick. But the first one, to me, that really struck me, we were built as a nation to be able to have the ability to have upward mobility. I come here on a ship, I can actually make money and prosper and be going to the middle class and upper middle class. Good luck doing that in Europe. Especially Italy. You're making a couple grand a month and you're stuck there. It's not like I have this huge upwards mobility. You have wealthy families. I'll give you a quick history of my mom's town. My mom's town is called L'Aquila. It was founded, medieval city, founded in the early 1300s, 1200s. It has 99 fountains, 99 churches, and 99 piazzas or squares. Wealthy families came there, built it, and now they've propagated and they've continued to, I guess, pass it on to the next generation. If you're a lowly person working in a W-2, guess what? You're not part of that system. Whereas in the U.S., if you want to make money and you want to hustle, you can do that. And that's the biggest, I think, one of the best reasons why I want to live in this country, because it's all about responsibility for me. My parents left that system to come to this system. So they gave themselves the opportunity and future generations the opportunity to make the decision to say, I want to have more for my life. The next one is...
And Gino, you did a micro version of that yourself by leaving New York to go to Florida.
If you really
think about it, it's a very similar thing.
And I love that, because in Italy, you really can't do that. I mean, the southern part of the country is poor. The northern part is more industrial. So you can go from the south to the north, but you're still stuck within the same system. Whereas in here, New York's got high sales tax, high property tax. I can leave and go to another state if I so choose to. So that, bro,
I want to call a quick time out here just to share a little bit about my journey in the federalist system. We have 50 different states to choose from. People may not like this, but when I made my journey from New York to Tennessee, I ranked the states based on my needs, what I was looking for, and who was going to provide the value. The same way if I was going to buy a car or a television, but this is a more serious decision, so I put more time into it, I rank things based on climate. Okay, that's important. Like the weather, you know, what's the weather like? Because you know, where I came from sucked. I wanted to look at property taxes. I wanted to look at state income taxes. All this rolls up to cost of living. You know, I wanted to look for opportunity. So there's different things here to look at. And that's how I made my decision. Okay. And also family came into it because we were looking at other states like Florida, like Texas at the same time. And this is going back to 2010, 2011 when I made my move, but it was a little bit more reasonable for us to get back to New York to visit family from Tennessee. That's how we ended up here. It's as simple as that. And it worked out pretty damn well. I'm going to tell you right now, one of the best decisions I made in my life because it provided opportunities that would have never been able to touch living in New York. But that's just a precursor to what Gino's going to say.
Power, my friend. That is power. I love that story. And you know what? I looked at my boy over there. We're partners. And I said to myself, if Jay can do it, why can't I do it? And I followed suit back in 2017. And I left. And it was probably one of the best decisions that I've ever made in my life also, being able to be down here. This next one, though, Jake, is going to blow your mind because I've got receipts here to prove it. High taxes. There's 22% value-added tax on anything you buy. I went out. I bought a nice freaking suit. 22% tax on that. How about them apples? 10% on food. 10% tax on food. Think about that. Jake mentioned the word de-incentivize. Do you think that de-incentivizes people to spend money and also to start businesses? Abso-freaking-lutely. That really, that was a shock to me. I mean, I know the system's around. When you see the receipts and you're like, wow, okay, I just paid 10% for bread. You know what I mean? It's like, okay. And they like the system because they get free healthcare. People, nothing is free in life. You're paying it. And who does this hurt the most?
It's a shared expense, guys, at the end yes. of the day. That's all it is. It's either, yeah.
This actually hurts the lower middle class because if Jake's got $1 million and he pays 10% on his food, okay, if I'm making 20 grand a year and I pay 10% of my same food, it's hurting me disproportionately more. So that fair system is hurting the lower class as well. The next one, this is my favorite, actually. I ask three people in Italy a question. How do I get to the bus stop? What bus do I go on? What time of day it is? You will probably get three different answers. It is infuriating. I'm like, bro, what bus goes to L'Aquila? The guy goes to me, it's either stall one or stall two. I'm like, jackass, is it the first stall or the second stall? Because if I get on the wrong bus, I'm going to the wrong
city. That's a bad day. Yeah.
I can't believe it. Like, nobody has any kind of ownership over anything. And the next one is the bureaucracy.
Was this an employee of the bus station?
These are employees of the bus company. They're sitting outside talking to two of them, right?
Deal, figure it out. I'm smoking my cigarette, all right?
I'm like, the bureaucracy is astounding. Like, you don't know what the hell is going on. The internet's okay there. You can go online and search things. But my cousin who's been living in the city, he's 63 years old. He still doesn't know what time buses are going. He's not sure where the buses pick people up. He's not sure where you buy tickets for the bus. It's infuriating when you're going there. And I could not live in a system like that where you can't get basic answers from people. It's infuriating. So the next one, it's pretty hard to start a business there. I've already told you the taxes and all. If you want to be an entrepreneur there, not the business to be starting an entrepreneur there because they squash you. They kill you with the bureaucracy. My mom's town had an earthquake in 2009. It's 2022. More than half the city is not even close to being rebuilt. Now, again, I understand you're dealing with history. You're dealing with a lot of beautiful buildings there. You have to refurbish them properly. But at the same time, there's money sitting there unallocated. A long time ago. And it sounds like our properties, when money got dispersed during COVID for relief, how much of that money has not gotten spent in from the federal government? Same thing in Europe. So we're heading that way in a lot of aspects to it. The more bureaucracy we add on to it, the more problems that we're going to have. Wow. And the next one. Hard to employ and retain workers. Good luck finding great workers there who want to work. When you do, you better hold on to them. But once they're working with you, if you decide to let them go or you decide to fire them and they're a private employee, good luck, man, that you're going to be talking about paying out the wazoo. And it's great to be an employee there because if you are a woman, you get pregnant, you have the ability to leave the job, but you can leave the job for 2 years. That job stays open and you still got to pay that person. It's great in theory, but it's really hard to have a small business there when you're trying to employ. I go into a bakery. I go into a dry cleaner. There's typically the owner working there and that's it. There's nobody else working these businesses.
That's what I was going to say. This system sounds like it would lend itself to a lot of solopreneurs.
Oh, Jake, and this is what's going on with COVID. We're blaming everything on COVID now. They've been blaming that on their system forever. Even when I was going there when I was back in the 80s and 90s, it was the same thing. You'd go into a store, you're waiting 20 minutes to see somebody because she has two other people and she can't employ somebody because she's in that trap. So this system really lends to that.
And then they're scared to hire people because of the repercussions if something happens, right?
Yes.
So it's overbearing. Yeah.
And the next one is huge. There's very little multifamily, and the property rights there are tricky. And my mom's got a home there. If my mom and when my mom decides to leave this earth and I inherit it, if people know that I'm not living there, they can go in that house, start squatting on that house, and Gino says goodbye, even though the house is my deed. They'll take that property over. They did the same thing to my father's property. He was farming, passed away years ago. All of a sudden, they start using it. They take that property. So that to me is
use probably, it or lose it, huh?
So how do you get foreign investment into a country like that? You don't. That's why multifamily is rocking.
You better
here
build a big ass gate around your house. That's what you better do.
You better have some cousins with guns. One or the other. But that's
link shots. I don't know if they'll let you have a gun there, right?
That's the big difference between our system and that system. We have property rights here. That is massive, everybody. And let's hope we continue to have those property rights that will separate us from every other system. I've got two more here, Jake. The high utility prices restrict travel and cost of vehicles. Now, rationing of electricity, it's happening right now.
It's Putin's fault.
Yeah, it's Putin's fault. I'm going to give you a great stat, Mr. Stenziano. Back in 2010, Italy imported 20% of their natural gas. 2022, over 45%. They should all be impeached just because of that. Trump warned Germany 2 years ago not to be dependent, and they all laughed at him. Now they're rationing. You have a smart thermostat. They're shutting your ass off. I was there. My mom goes, Gino, I want you to meet my barber. So I walk into the barber's thing, and there's lights that are shut off. I said, Mom, what's that all about when we left? She goes, oh, he does not. He's rationing electricity. You can only use X amount of electricity throughout the day. So everyone,
he's
got to
keep those clippers buzzing, buddy. He can't waste on the light.
Yeah, we laugh, but think about the fact that this coffee shop had $1,000 a month in electricity. As I'm sitting out there, I'm like, you know, what's going on? Why aren't you so busy? He goes, well, my electric this month, as opposed to last year, is up to $3,000. It 3X'd on a small business owner. Now you multiply that over all of the different businesses. You're taking money out of people's pockets and you're taking profits away because there's not enough utility. And that's what they're doing with this whole oil and fossil fuel. If you're going to transition to something else, let's transition smartly and smoothly so we don't kill utilities, because we have the opportunity now to get all these factories coming back to this country with cheap natural gas. We have that opportunity right now and it's happening. But if we kill utility and cheap energy for our the people and for these businesses, we're going to go to what happens in Europe. And that seems as if that's what they've been trying to do. Once again, I don't have proof, but why would you cut pipelines?
What do you mean you don't have proof? I mean, you're saying the facts right now, and it's the ultimate like scarcity mentality blended with the death spiral. You keep restricting and pulling back, and it keeps getting worse and worse and worse over time. And people start to become accepting of it, that this is the way it is.
You're right.
You can't get any better. And it just continues the down spiral. Yeah.
Excellent point. And that's the problem with Germany. I have a friend who's German here. She lives here. She's been living here for years. She says one of Germany's problems, the older generation, and this is what Europe in all, they just like, it is what it is. That's the system. I have to obey. And a lot of
it starts to kill the soul. And then people just like, this is the way it is. They expect it. And they become okay with it over time. And it's like a degradation in the generations as it gets pushed down.
Yeah. Yes. And Jake, the funny thing is it's the opposite here. Whereas you have like the older generations and our generation, we're fighting back against a lot of this nonsense. And the younger generation's like, well, that's the law. I gotta wear a mask.
But here's
I gotta
the
get
thing,
back
though.
Stuff. And that's what they don't push back.
They're also much weaker. And their dependency is based on the device that's in their hand, because all of their fulfillment comes from the likes and the emojis and everything, where it's not like a human to human based experience. And they actually get outside their home. And the sad thing is that people have become so dependent on their devices that if they can be in a unit or an apartment unit or something, and they have their internet, they have their Netflix, hey, I can Uber some food into me, you know, I'm okay. It's really sad to think, but I think there's people that are very accepting of that's their lifestyle and it's okay. So that's what we're competing with right now.
And Jake, I want to wrap this up by just saying the reason why I did this is to share how beautiful the country is. It does have the potential, but it really comes down to the, I guess, the collective mindset of the nation as a whole. And they're okay with high taxes. They're okay with rationing electricity. They're okay with really little upwards mobility. They're okay with
it's a slow creep that leads to acceptance, though, Gino. And that's, yes, it didn't happen overnight, right?
And the reason why I'm doing this is I want people listening to the show to say, let's not show me the status quo here. Let's challenge that. We see that happening here. What can I do? Well, what Jake and I are doing is getting on podcasts, writing books. We have the Jake and Gino community, Create the Entrepreneurs, to highlight the differences. There's not always, it's not all black and white, because they do have some great, I mean, great things about the country. Let's try to adopt those great things into this country, but keep what made this country amazing and the reason why we're all living here, what we love about this system, ultimately, Jake.
Gino, what, you know, people with financial education, what can they do?
Just go to jakeandgino.com. I mean, follow us. If you want to start working with the team, follow us in the team. If you want more information, you can also go to the dualassetstrategy.com.
I thought you were
going to
say they could change the world for the better.
I'm trying to lead them to our resources, because our resources really talk about that. We even start from the infant stage, from a seven-year-old reading a kid's book. It all starts with the mindset. Let's start preparing our youth for the mindset to understand and to have these rational, logical, like, I'm not on here bashing Italy. And I'm not on here bashing the U.S. I'm just laying out the facts. And I want to present the facts in an entertaining way for people to make their own decisions and to say, I like that system, but I like this one better. And I like New York, but maybe I can move to Florida or to Texas because I like Florida, Texas better. It's all about giving people options. And that's what I think is great about this country. We still have a lot of options in this country, whereas in Europe and Italy, there's not really a lot of options there. You work to your 65, you have to work to your 65, and then you retire on this measly freaking income. And I don't know how you even pay for utility bills. I don't know how you pay for your food. It's a really depressing situation if I think about it.
My fear is that if the gray cloud comes here, I don't know where I'll go next. That's my biggest concern. So, you know, here's the thing. I'm going to leave Gino with this. People with financial intelligence can change the world for the better. I'm Jake. He's the G-Daddy. We make it happen. We'll see you next time.
Thanks, Jake.